This morning, God's Word comes to us from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. We'll be reading just the first 19 verses of this chapter. Proverbs 4, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get, get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Trinity Psalter hymnal to page 891 in the back section. As this morning we look at Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39. The questions on the bottom of the first column, the answer at the top of the second column. I will read the question, we'll respond together with the answer. From page 891, question 104. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? Well, we have been looking together at the law of God as it is explained for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. We have looked at those first four commandments, the first table of the law. Commandments 1 through 4, all dealing directly with our relationship to God and to how we should worship Him. Now we're going to enter into the second table of the law, commands 5 through 10. That deal more directly with our relationship to our neighbor. Of course, that flows from our relationship with God, but more directly how we relate to those around us. I think it's important as we enter particularly the second table of the law, we remind ourselves of the three different uses that the law of God has. The law of God has a civic use. The law of God teaches what is necessary for society to take place, how it is that we can get along with others in a civil society. It is good advice for everyone. We will look at the law as more than that, more than just a standard for civic good, more than just good advice. The second use of the law is that by looking into the law, we see our sin all the more clearly. And seeing our sin, seeing where we have fallen short of God's holy standards, we are then driven to Christ, to flee from that sin and to find our refuge in Him. And particularly with the fifth commandment, to recognize that we have not respected God's authorities which He has put in place. And so we confess that sin and look to Christ for forgiveness. The last use of the law, and the one that the Catechism highlights for us and that we have been highlighting as well, is that the law is our rule of gratitude. How do we respond, knowing what God has done for us, knowing that He has washed us and cleansed us from all of our sins? How do we live a life that shows Him our thankfulness? And this use of the law is distinct in the life of the believer. For one who knows their sin, for one who recognizes what Christ has done, how now shall we live to bring thanksgiving and glory and honor and praise to God? We keep that in mind as we enter into our study of the second table of the law and our proper response as believers to God's work of salvation in our lives. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The first thing we have to remember is that when God gives us His law, particularly this law, it is something that is for our good. The law is a gift from God for us. And it reminds us that God Himself has put structure, has put order in society. We read in verse 1, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight." Verse 3, "When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live.'" God has placed order. God has placed structure in society. And the most fundamental part of that structure is the structure of the family. God determines what a family is. And in that most basic structure that God has made, we learn so much. Think about that, children. How much you learn from your parents. Oh, you might not even remember, but you learn all the physical things, how to walk and how to talk, how to clap your hands. You learn so much from your parents. But you learn in the family relationship things, how to get along with others. If you have brothers and sisters, how to get along with other people, how to show proper respect to them, how to show proper respect to your mom and dad. All of these things we learn in the context of the family. And God gives us parents as a gift to teach us these wonderful truths. God has put structure in society in the family, that most foundational structure. God has also put structure in society by giving us the church. The church that we call the family of God. It is here that we as believers receive instruction in how we are to live. We are called the body of Christ. Instruction in relationships to others. how to properly respect and honor them. And in the church, too, just as in the home, God provides those to help us. In the home, God gives us parents to teach us. In the church, God gives us elders. Elders whom He has called, elders whom He has gifted to help us, to teach us, to instruct us, that we might live in the ways of righteousness. And when God puts an authority structure in place, He intends that we will follow those authorities. We will listen to them. And I say this with due respect to our elders. It doesn't matter if they are smarter than we are. It doesn't matter if they know more than we are, than we do. Now, in our particular case, they are smarter and they very often do know more. But this is God's choice to put this structure in place where we are to properly submit to God by submitting to the authority He has put in place. And that which is true in the church is also true in the home. Children, you may not think your parents are smart enough to answer your questions. You may not think that they know more than you, but that is completely beside the point. God has placed them in authority over you. It is God's choice that you would learn and submit to your parents. And so He calls you, whether you think they know better or not, He calls you to submit to His gift, His structure, that you follow the instructions that they give. And of course, as our confession reminds us, the fifth commandment deals not only with children, but it deals with all those in authority over us. And so all of us are called to recognize we have a Father in heaven. We have a Father to whom all of us are called to submit. Parents, you will model what submission for your children looks like by your submission to God and to the authorities He has put in place. Your children will learn from you how to submit as they see you submitting to God, your Father. And just like our children don't always understand why we as parents say the things we do or do the things we do, so it is with us and God our Father. We may not understand what God is doing. We may think that we know better. We have a better plan than He does. But God calls us to submit no matter what. Now we as earthly parents will be the first to admit in our parenting of our children, we have and will make mistakes. And children, I can assure you, your parents will never make a decision that they think will deliberately hurt you. They will always do what they think is best for you. Sometimes in God's providence, it doesn't turn out that way, because our parents are fallen, they are sinful as well. That is never the case with God our Father. We never need to wonder, is this really best? Does God really know what is best for us? He never makes a mistake. We as parents say, oh, I didn't know it would turn out like that. God never says that. God always knows and does what is best in the life of His children. And so we can, with confidence, even if we don't understand it, we can with confidence properly submit to Him. Because ultimately, all submission is to God. Children, the way that you submit, obey your parents, is about your relationship to God. The way that we as a congregation submit to the elders God has put in place is about our submission to God. And in our personal lives, of each and every one of us, how we live is ultimately about how we submit to God. Because He's given us instruction. He's given us authorities as a gift to help us. And so we must listen to that. We must learn from that. God gives us authority to teach us wisdom. Again, from verse 1, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Be attentive that you may gain insight." Verse 5, "Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth." Get wisdom and get insight. Wisdom. Wisdom, children, is different from knowledge. You will get lots of knowledge in school, in Sunday school, in catechism, from your parents. Lots of things you will know. Wisdom is about taking what you know and then applying it, living it. Because there is a difference between knowing something and having wisdom. I grew up in Washington State, and in the wintertime, the weather would turn rainy and sometimes snowy. And so when I was getting close to being 16 years old, I took a driver's ed class, learning how to drive, and they taught us in the class how to drive when the roads are slippery, how to drive on ice. And so we learned things like you don't use your cruise control and you turn the wheel very, very gently and you apply the brakes. This is before ABS, but you apply the brakes a couple different times. Don't stamp on the brakes. And so I knew how to drive on ice. The first winter comes, and it's one of those winters that's actually snowy and the roads are icy. And so I said to my dad, "Dad, I want to go out and drive on the ice." "Do you know how, son?" "Yes, I know how." And so Dad, I don't know what he was thinking, Dad and I went out, started going down the road, a very secluded road, by the way, and we're driving along fairly slowly, and Dad says, "Okay, stop the car." And so I know how to do this. So I begin to apply the brakes, and the back end of the car starts moving, and I turn the wheel radically and push the brakes through the floor, and we slid right off the road. I thought I knew, but I had no experience, no wisdom. I did not know how to take that which I had learned and actually really apply it in life. At my request, Dad drove home with no problem at all. He knew, and he knew how to apply. Get wisdom. Get insight. It is more than just knowing things. It is how to apply the things that we know. And to help us as children, God gives us parents. Because our parents have lived life. And as children, God calls us to learn wisdom from them. Listen to them. Listen to a father's, a mother's instruction. Kids, your folks get it more than you think. Your folks have lived. They understand more than you think. They understand more than you know. Learn from them. Receive the benefit of their wisdom and live in light of that. And then continue to hold on to those truths and that wisdom they have given to you. Again, from verse 5. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom, and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. Do not forget what your parents have taught you. Can you imagine if you were training for a particular job and you had 18 years of training under someone who would give you their guidance, their instruction, who would pass on to you wisdom. 18 years of instruction. And then finally, it is your time to do this job on your own, and you say, I'm going to forget everything I have learned. How foolish. Do not reject the wisdom your parents have instilled in you. They train us that we might hold on to their instruction. Hold on to the wisdom they have imparted, to the path they have laid out for you. Because that path is the path of blessing. Do not forsake wisdom. She will keep you. Love her. She will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Wisdom is the path of blessing. To be instructed in that wisdom and to hold on to that wisdom. Being instructed through our parents at home, through the opportunities in the church that the elders provide for us. To be instructed in the ways of the Lord. That certainly includes coming to worship. The elders call worship services for us twice every Lord's Day to be instructed in the ways of God, to be taught the path of blessing, the path of wisdom. God gives us other opportunities, Bible studies we can attend. He gives our children Sunday school and catechism. These various means that the elders provide for us, we need to avail ourselves of this instruction. Avail ourselves of the wisdom that's being taught that we might learn how to walk in that path, to follow that path of blessing for the people of God. Oh, we must pray more and more that God teach us His wisdom and then that we avail ourselves of the way in which He answers that prayer. For this wisdom, this teaching is for our life. Verse 10, hear my son and accept my words that the years of your life may be many. That the years of your life may be many. We hear the echoes of the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Following this path leads to a blessed life, a long life walking with the Lord. And the author of Proverbs here in this section of the chapter lays out before us those two paths in which we may walk. Either the path of light or the path of darkness, and the stark contrast between these two. Again, verse 10, hear my son, accept my words that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Learn these glorious truths. Learn these truths of wisdom well, that you may live long, that God may watch over and bless you, that you not be hampered. Hampered in your relationship with others, hampered in your relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your co-workers, not hampered in your spiritual life, not hampered by refusing to listen to your father
who has taught you, who has laid out for you the path of wisdom, the path of blessing, the path of righteousness. Listen, hold on to these things, that you not be hampered in your walk, that you will not stumble when you run. It is so easy for us to want to run ahead of God, think we know better than His law. But to do so is to reject wisdom and to stumble and to fall. God enlightens our minds that we can hear this instruction because of the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ has done for us. Remember, we're talking about the law and our keeping of the law as a rule of gratitude, our response to what God has done. Because of what Christ has done, because He has washed us and cleansed us and made us new creatures, we are now to walk in these new wise ways. God calls again this morning. Get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom begins with knowing who Jesus Christ is, the wisdom of God. If you are here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the beginning. Don't start by trying to keep the second table of the law. That is merely external obedience. But confess and embrace Jesus Christ. And in response to what He has done, then by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, walk in that path of light. Because the contrast is the path of darkness. Verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn from it and pass on. The path of wickedness, the author says, don't even begin. Don't even start to walk down that road just a little bit. Sin is so deceptive. Satan comes and tempts us with one little thing. And we say, it's not really that big of a deal. And we give in just a little bit. And he comes to us again with just a little thing. And we give in just a little bit more. And a little bit more. And a little bit more. And we find ourselves all of a sudden saying, how did I get here? Far down the path of wickedness. Don't even begin. Do not enter that path. Do not walk in the way of evil. And do not associate with those who would lead you down that path. Sometimes we say, I'm strong enough in my walk with the Lord that I can associate with these particular people. What does verse 16 say? For they, the wicked, they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. I say this particularly to our young people, to our young adults. Who do you hang around with? Who are your friends? Who are your closest buddies? If you find yourself being so close to those who do not share your commitment to God, your conviction to Jesus Christ, then be warned. Because your friends, so-called, want you to live like them. They will not rest until they have made someone stumble. That is the way of the wicked. Because if you stumble, it validates their disobedience. Be careful. Be careful in the path. Don't even begin to walk down that way. For we read in verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Walking on the path of righteousness, the author says, just gets better and better. The path gets brighter and brighter as we more and more conform to God's law, as we more and more submit to His authority in every part of our lives. Our life, the path is brighter, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. That path of darkness becomes so encompassing, we don't even see all the wrong we are doing anymore. It has become second nature for us. God puts order. God puts structure in society. He does that in the family. Kids, God has given you parents. Parents to help you, parents to teach you, not just knowledge, but wisdom, how to get along in life. Listen to your parents' instruction. Even if you think you know better, they do get it. Listen to the instruction that they give you and live. God has put order and structure in the church. He has given us his eldership to help us in our walk with him. We must listen to their instruction, even if we think they don't get it. God has placed them as an authority over us. And ultimately recognizing that submission to all of these authorities is submission to God, our Father in heaven, who has taught us, who will teach us, who will continue to lead us in the path of light, in the path of righteousness. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we acknowledge that you are a good God, a loving God. You are our Father in heaven. And you have, through your word, given us instruction in how we are to live and how we are to structure even society around us. Lord God, help us to properly submit to those authorities which you have placed over us. Make us good students. By your Spirit, help us to apply the truth of your word in our lives, that we may walk in the path of light. And Lord God, even if this morning we are tempted to start down the path of darkness, remove that from us. Wash us, cleanse us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to honor those in authority over us, that our days may be long in the land that you are giving to us. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.